Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
First of all, he says in the text, and we're just going to go kind of phrase by phrase through these two verses, where he says, be anxious for nothing. Anxious, it's connected to anxiety, it's connected to worry, all those things that we've been talking about. This is now the third week we've been talking about this subject. You remember we started out in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus said, do not worry. That's not, by the way, that's not optional. That's required of followers of Christ. Do not worry. And remember what he says there in that text. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The promise of provision. I'm going to take care of you. He talks about the birds of the field. He talks about the grass and the flowers. And he says, God can take care of you. I can provide. Don't worry. We were in 1 Peter chapter 1 last week. And recall that wonderful promise, that wonderful invitation that he gives us. He says to cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. That we can transfer the ownership of our anxieties over to God. He wants to take them. He wants to assume ownership and responsibility for them. And God invites us to do that. Today, how do we handle our worries? Where do you take your worries? You simply ask him for what you need. Replace anxiety with prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything pray, that we bring this before the Lord. Notice this, be anxious. So anxiety is the worries, the concerns. I don't need to spend a lot of time describing what that feels like, what that looks like, what causes it, because you and I, friends, live it. This is the world we live in. And I know some of us might be more prone to anxiety than others, and some of us might be less so, but nonetheless, the fact that God's desire to put this in the pages of Scripture indicates this is something that you and I need to hear. Be anxious for nothing. First of all, this anxiety that should be replaced with prayer, we need to understand that we were not made to worry about things. God did not design us this way. You know, and those that are in the medical profession and so forth tell us about all of the problems, all the physical problems, and then the emotional problems, and outward from that, and another ring of influence, all the relational problems and all the societal problems, and on it goes, that stem from stress that God never meant for us to have. He didn't make us that way. You want to know why stress will wear you down and put lines in your face and steal your joy and steal your song and have you just have all these weights upon you? Because God didn't mean for you to carry them. He says, be anxious for nothing. You cast them on me. I will provide. Pray, the simple solution. Take them to the Lord in prayer. And we could also add to that, not only are we made not to worry about things, but notice the word nothing there in the text. Be anxious for nothing. You know, we oftentimes speak in words that are superlatives. This was the greatest. This was the worst. This is never going to happen. This always happens. We see, you know, these extreme edges. And most of the things we talk about really are not superlative. You know, well, he never does. Well, does he never, ever do that? Well, do you always do that? Maybe not so. But God can speak with these superlatives because he is God. When he says, be anxious for nothing, he says, this applies to every situation, every worry, every concern, everything that's a stressor in your life. Be anxious for nothing. Not only should we replace our anxieties with prayer, because we're not meant to worry about things, we're also not meant to worry about anything. Anything. Anything fits in there. Now, some of you I know, I know a little more of your story or present tense because we've had some interaction. Some of you, I haven't had that opportunity. So I don't really know what's going on in your life. I don't know as I could say what your stress is or where your worry is or where your potential anxiety is. And I don't need to because I know the simple solution. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. That's what we approach God. So I just want to call us back to this. May this become the standard operating procedure of our life. May this be our go-to strategy. By the way, well, there's really a physical way to figure out how this stress works. Most of us could and this is just some through observation, but there's usually a place in your body where your stress settles. You know, maybe it's your back or your neck or your stomach tightens up, or you fidget with your hands or whatever. There's some place where you can detect, oh, there's something bothering me. There's some stress here. There's some anxiety here. And then you need to pull that back a ways and say, well, what is causing that reaction? What am I thinking about? And it always results from heart and thought. That's the reason verse 7's in this passage. But what am I thinking about? Where am I going? What is stewing? And once you identify it, what is the cause of that stress that you will feel somewhere in your body, then you take that thing and you take it to God. And he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So he goes from, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything. This is wide open. This is available to all of us. This is available to the small child, to us that are somewhere else in the middle of life or in the closing moments of life. We can trust the Lord because he invites us to pray. The simple solution is to just ask when we have needs. Now, let's bore down into the real core here, which is described in four different terms for praying. And you see them on display here in this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, that's one, and supplication, that's number two. With thanksgiving, that's number three. Let your requests be made known to God, that's number four. And you might look at those and say, well, those kind of all sound, or at least some of them sound the same. What is the difference? Well, they're all different words in English, and they're all different words in the original that this is translated from. And they all give just a slightly different nuance of meaning. And that's what we want to go through. See, here's what he says. Replace your anxiety with prayer. We're not made to worry about things. We're not made to worry about anything. But request everything we need through prayer. Now, let's look at each of these. First of all is the word prayer. He says, in everything by prayer. That is a broad term, a broad statement about praying. It just means talking to God. It means communication. So the best description I could give you is just this dialogue or this talking we have with God. Do you ever think about the amazing thing of this? Sometimes we get all amazed about technology, right? We pull out these smartphones out of our pocket and we do all these amazing things. I was at my son's house and he talks to his phone and it turns the lights off and on in his house and we all go, whoa, this is amazing. And you can talk to this little thing on his counter, you know, what's the score, what's the weather? And Alexa will talk back to you. We all go, wow, this is amazing technology. I just think, what's Alexa listening to when I'm not around? But that's some other discussion. We get all amazed by technology, but think of the blessing that God has just put into this world and put into our lives for believers, that we can pray to him, talk to him, commune with him, even complain to him if we need to, at any moment, and he hears every word and he feels every little twitch of our anxiety, and he's willing to then transfer that burden onto his heart and into his mind and into his care and concern. There's no technology involved, but what a wonderful, miraculous, divine thing that God does for us. Let this be the ongoing dialogue of life. Something's beautiful, tell him how beautiful it is. Something's burdensome, tell him the burden you're experiencing. You need something from him, as best you can put it in words, say, Lord, I need some help with this. It's just that ongoing dialogue with God. Now, you've all experienced this. There are those moments when it's really not hard to enter into an impromptu, for lack of any way else to say it, dialogue with God. I remember one time, this was years ago, I was driving home from work late one night, heading home to Julie. And the kids were very small at that point. And from the time I went to work till I got off work, it's come this sort of ice storm. And there was ice on the trees and ice on the road. And there's this one little grade I had to go down, one little hill I had to go down to get home from where I was. And it was slick. And I kind of stopped at the top of the hill, and there was one car just creeping down. I could just watch his brake lights. And I'm like, I'm going to give him plenty of room before I do anything. Well, I finally thought he was far enough away. I just twitched my foot on the brake. I didn't really get off the brake. I just kind of twitched it, and off I went, down the hill. Watching the brake lights in front of me, now the distance I thought was safe was closing fast. And I remember I was praying out loud right there in the front seat. I didn't care anyone heard me. Lord, would you please stop this car because I do not have the ability to stop this car. It's amazing when we have those moments where, Lord, help us. It's like, you know, Peter on the water. Lord, save me. And in God's graciousness, and this is just all in him, I remember just about the time when those brake lights disappeared out of my view from the hood of my car, the car came to a stop without bumping, touching, crashing. And I said, and then you go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. And my foot didn't flinch on the brake till that guy was way out of sight. And then we made it on home. So sometimes it's a diagnosis, it's a phone call, it's the scary, your kids will keep you on your knees with things they're doing, all that kind of stuff. But what we need to do is to translate that kind of an intense dialogue with God into the everyday of life. When there isn't any crisis, when you're not careening out of control, it's just sort of life. But bring God into that dialogue. May God help us. So prayer is talking to God. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And then he adds one more. And supplication. Supplication, in its root of its word, has the idea of that which you need personally. It's sort of a personal need. So I've described it this way. Asking for our personal needs. Stuff that we know about. Stuff we're feeling. Stuff we're experiencing. And sometimes maybe we feel, maybe I shouldn't just pray about myself all the time. No, God invites that. He commands it. On the other hand, we should do more than just pray for what we need, but we'll come to that in just a moment. So we can whatever our needs are, we can ask him, and he wants to hear them. I assure you that there's someone in this world that if you went and you asked them to meet your personal needs, there might be somebody that would be generous and gracious and kind to help you meet their needs your needs as best they can. I also assure you, you wouldn't have to go far in this world to find somebody that really wouldn't be particularly interested in meeting your needs. Got it? God is always in the first category to the ultimate degree. He longs when our children ask for help. If you're a parent here, you can just put this into the context of your own child or your own grandchildren or your own family. If they ask for something, whatever they need, if you can possibly humanly provide it, you're going to try your best to meet their needs as best you can, because that's just what you do. God is so much more gracious and generous and loving than we could ever be because of our fallenness. He says, you come and you ask for whatever you need. Now, we're going to talk in just a little bit about, we come to verse 7 about God's answer and how we respond. But he does invite us to ask. We know not every prayer is answered in a way we might choose, but nonetheless, he asks us to ask. And then he adds this. This is the third part of our prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving means we express our appreciation back to God. Now, if you think about this, we understand what thanksgiving is, and we especially understand it in this particular context. We pray about something, God answers our prayer, we say thank you. It's as simple as someone does something nice for you or says something nice to you, you respond by saying thank you. That's just how we're wired, how we're trained, how we should do it. But I suggest to you that this thanksgiving is not just after the answer comes. This thanksgiving is embedded into the asking, regardless of what does come. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but everything in the prayer and in the supplication, it's accompanied with, tied to, cemented to thanksgiving. That thanksgiving should be riveted to our prayers, that it should just be fixed there, that we should say thank you. Well, how can I say thank you when I haven't seen what God is going to do? Well, on some level, we could say, thank you, God, that you listen to my needs. Thank you, God, that you're able to do whatever you see fit to do with my needs. And maybe we should get to this level. Thank you, Lord, for whatever you choose to do, because it ultimately is always best, even if I can't figure it out. You know, sometimes we are praying for something, and sometimes God delivers what we require or what we think we need. He answers our prayer. Sometimes God denies our request. And then there's that vast space in between where many of us have our biggest struggle, when God delays giving us an answer and we just have to wait. But in that waiting, after the fact, before the fact, he says, go ahead and say thank you to God as you pray. Let it be accompanied with your thanksgiving. Because in essence, that's a statement of faith. And it removes the thankfulness to my situation or my particular reception or lack thereof, but transfers that thanksgiving into who God is and what God will choose to do. God is always deserving of thanks, no matter what we think he does or does shouldn't do. It's all in his hands. So make sure as we pray, the simple solution, I'm anxious, I feel that, oh, what am I going to do? You replace that with prayer. You have this ongoing dialogue with God in the everyday of life. You ask him for what you need. You accompany it with thanksgiving. And then there's one more phrase that's found in this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Request is a very broad term. It's the broadest term for asking for something. Whereas supplication is more up close and personal, request is just broad. So whatever you want to pray, ask for anything. And God invites us and God wants us to not only pray for our needs, but he wants us to pray for needs of others. As God calls that to our attention, we need to pray for members of our family. We need to pray for our spouse or our children or our parents, our extended family. God wants us to pray for our church family. Pray for those that have needs and pray for those that are hurting. Pray for those that are experiencing special blessing, to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. God calls us to pray for those in leadership. And I know many of you pray faithfully for me and for those of us that serve here. Thank you. We don't take that lightly. We take that as a precious gift from God. But also to pray for our community. Do you not think it needs it? Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for our country. Do you not think God needs to be involved more in people's lives and hearts of those that are in this country? Yes. Let's pray for our world. So that's the supplication, just to pray for those broad and big things that come to our attention. And God wants those too. He wants things in the micro of our lives, but he also wants those things in the mass spectrum of this world that we can pray. He says, just pray. I can't make this more complicated than it is, and I certainly wouldn't want to try. But we simply this, you just ask. Where do you take your worry? You just ask God. You go and you pray. And you do it this way. You have this ongoing dialogue with him. That's the talking to God. The supplication, ask for what you need personally. You accompany it with thanksgiving, your appreciation back to God. And you make your request for anything and everything. He's willing to take it. And then he says this little phrase that we might overlook at the end of verse 6. Let your request be made known to God. What a one to take it to. Now, whenever our grandchildren are coming, and they're all quite small, oldest is age 8 and goes down from there. And we have a couple that are coming midweek this week to be with us for a few days. My wife always makes a trip to the store and gets a gigundo box of fruit snacks. Fruit snacks, if you're not familiar, they're a wonderful invention. The Welch's company makes them. God bless them for doing this for us. They're sort of like gummy things that are chewable, but it also says on the box, made with real fruit juice. So that takes all the guilt out of just giving these things out like candy, okay? So it's like you can give the candy away but still feel good that it's got real juice in it. Not sure how much, but that's what it says on the box. So there's a big supply. So the kids come and they know if they want a snack, and they almost have learned this before they can say anything else, you know, fruit snack. Can I have a fruit snack? And you go and you give them this little pack. They open them up and they eat them and they enjoy them. And they're getting a dose of grapefruit and it's all nutritious and all that. And there's an abundant supply in the cabinet. And it might not be one visit. It might be two or three visits of the grandkids. But at some point, the fruit snack supply goes down. Now, we have this wonderful opportunity to go back to the grocery store and spend our hard-earned money on another gigundo box of fruit snacks and start over again. But you know, if you look anywhere else but God, there's always a limited supply from any other source but God. You go to any other source and sometimes you open the cabinet of that friend's heart for you, and the cabinet might be barren of what they can give you. And sometimes people can only give you so much, and people can only do so much. And the professionals in this world that take care of us and advise us and treat us, they can only do so much. But you never go to God where He ever opens the cabinet of His grace. And not only is it full, it contains an infinite supply of everything that you and I need in abundance. Oftentimes, we turn to ourselves, I'm going to fix this. Well, God says, pray. Sometimes we run to other people. Will you fix this for me? And maybe they can be involved, and maybe you can be part of the solution too. But above it all and before it all, pray. And then there's always this subtle temptation. Our enemy is very good at dangling a counterfeit solution to our problems. A counterfeit solution to our problems. And if we take that bait, we will always ultimately be disappointed. Remember the story of the prodigal son? His dad wasn't dying fast enough for him, in essence, and says, I want my inheritance now. He gets this sum of money, and suddenly he thinks, because Satan's put this in his mind, I have everything I need. I have freedom. I'm not under daddy's authority anymore. I'm not under my father's authority anymore. I can go anywhere. I can do whatever I want. I can be with whoever I want. Let the good times roll. Let the party start. And he lived it up for a while. And it says specifically in the text, until he spent all that he had. There's always a limited supply from this world. And as someone once said, Satan always pays off his deals with counterfeit money. And suddenly the party was over. All the friends that he could buy with his lavish resources are nowhere to be found. They have disappeared. The party is over, and he's in the hog pen. Don't succumb to believing that the solution to our problems and our anxiety. And he puts all kinds of things out there. I can get in, this relationship isn't working. Throw that one away and start the next relationship. I can find comfort in the bottle. I can find comfort in the pills. I can find comfort in some immoral activity. It all looks and seems good. Satan is an expert at drawing it up to where it looks like that's going to fulfill all of your desires and all of your needs. And it always comes to a crashing realization that it was all built on a Satan-inspired lie. When God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm here for you. I have an abundant supply. I can meet your needs. I know what I'm doing. And if you're asking for something that's not good for you, I can redirect it in a different way that what ultimately will be good for you. Trust me. Count on me. Where do we take our worry? Take it to the feet of God. Pray, ask, thank, and leave it there. Now there's a great promise, and it's in verse 7. Here's the promise. Receive this peace that he wants to give you. Receive peace as you pray. He says, and the peace of God. Are we needing peace in our lives? Are we needing peace in our world? Are we needing peace all the time? All that anxiety, all that stress, we need peace. Well, God says, you get in this line and there's an abundant supply of it coming. In fact, it's so abundant, he says, which surpasses all understanding. You'll have so much peace that people won't know what's wrong with you. You'll have peace that they'll wonder what you've been up to. You'll have so much peace they might think you have completely gone bonkers. You'll have peace that won't even make sense to you, because it surpasses any logic or human understanding. Now notice what he says, and the peace of God which passes understanding, this is what God is going to deliver to you. Notice it says nothing about whether God answers the prayer affirmatively or negatively. It doesn't even say whether God has answered the prayer. He says this is the transaction that takes place. He says, if we pray, if we make our supplication, if we do it with thanksgiving, if we make our requests known to God, then the peace of God, which is past understanding, is available to you, regardless of whether God says, I'm going to deliver, I'm going to deny, or you're in that great uncomfortable place of delay. He gives us the peace now. It's not dependent on the ultimate outcome. Have you not had this experience? You're troubled about something and you're worried about something and you just do what God tells you to do and you just go and you pray over it and you may not still have the answer or know what's next, but just the fact that you've turned it over to God, you just, oh, thank you, Lord, for the relief. Thank you for resetting my mind and setting my heart. Thank you for what you've delivered to me, the peace of God. I guarantee you, if I said, all we have to do is go out in the parking lot, you're going to see a booth over there. And if you get in that booth and stand in line, when you get to the booth, we're going to deliver you a surpassing peace of God delivered to you. We'd all run out here and get in line, wouldn't we, even though it's raining? We'd stand there in the rain to get it. It's more simple than that. It's much more simple than that. Replace your anxiety with prayer. Just ask. Just ask the peace of God, which passes understanding. And then he says, shall guard, which will guard your hearts and your minds, okay? It will secure your emotions, first of all. That's the heart part. And where heart emotions end and thinking and mind begin, it all kind of squooshes together, if squoosh is a word. But it's that internal, those venues of our hearts. That's where God's going to enter in. That's where the peace is going to enter in. And sometimes that's where the battle's raging, isn't it? In our hearts. We get to thinking the wrong thing. We get focused on the wrong thing. We get focused on our problems. We keep taking it back from God. We somehow are not living lives of faith to believe he can deliver and he can provide. We just come back to that place where we're stewing in it. And God says, no, 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 I want to guard your heart. As I said earlier, when I first memorized these verses, I memorized them in the King James. The New King James I'm reading from has a slightly different word. But what I learned was it said, we'll keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Some of you may be familiar with that because you've learned this verse earlier. Back in the 1600s, when the translators into English, they were looking for a word that fit this word. So they used the word keep. Well, back in the 1600s, most towns of any size had a place in town known as the keep. The keep was someplace you really didn't want to hang out because the keep was the jail. If you were thrown in the keep, you were thrown into jail. So the translators used that word for this word that we have in front of us as guard. It literally means, I want to lock up securely your emotions. I want to set a guard over your heart. I want to give you peace, and I'm going to guard it. I'm going to watch over it. I'm going to protect it. What a blessing God gives. All you have to do, go back to the beginning. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. You bring it and take it to God. He will give you peace that passes understanding, and he's going to guard your emotions. He's also going to guard and secure your thinking so that we can think the right things. And by the way, that's usually where we start degrading into anxiety. We start thinking the wrong things. We're not thinking of faith. We're not thinking of truth. We're not thinking of God's plan, God's purposes, God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's involvement in our life. We're thinking about how big our problems are, where's it going to go, what could happen next, and I'm afraid that might happen. And we just spin off in the wrong direction in our thinking. God wants to secure our minds so that we are protected in what we think. In fact, if you go down and read the next verse, verse 8, he talks about these are the things we should think on. And by extrapolation, anything that's not on that list, we shouldn't be thinking on. So we need to be directed in our thinking by the things of God. So he will secure your emotions. He will secure your thinking. And then the end of the verse, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.